looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Swung on, banged in, ball into left, base hit, game winner, Greg Allen's done it for the second time this year. And the Indians in 11 innings beat the Red Sox in walk-off fashion for the second night in a row.
All right, so there you go, another walk-off loss for the Red Sox yesterday in Cleveland. If you didn't get to see a lot of it, I honestly can't say I blame you. These games now, hard to watch. Red Sox are obviously preparing for the postseason, as are the Indians. And the losses in and of themselves don't mean anything, especially when, who are the relievers that gave up this weekend? Willie Cuevas and Drew Pomeranz, are they the guys that blew the game? So, I'll tell you what, let's open up the phone lines right away. 617-779-0985. We'll talk baseball for the next hour. And yes, you still have a baseball team, despite all the goings-on with the football team in the last 24 hours. Red Sox, an important week this week. And so my question to you as a Red Sox follower is this. I actually have a bunch of them tonight, so let me start there. First of all, what do you want to see this week from the Red Sox? Okay, what do you want to see this week? Do you deem this at all to be an important week? And I'll tell you why it is in just a minute. Okay, and not just for the whole idea of fine-tuning and getting everybody back on the beam here and getting everyone with some sort of momentum going into the playoffs. To me, there's a little bit more to it than that, which I'll get to in just 1 second. That's number one. Number two, you realize that there are a couple of positional issues going on with this team right now. And one of them actually starts to materialize a little bit more, crystallize a little bit more tonight. The starting pitcher for the Red Sox tonight is Nathan Eovaldi. Eduardo Rodriguez will pitch behind him in relief. Up until recently, Eduardo Rodriguez was pitching with Eovaldi behind him. So the Red Sox now have a question there at the end of the starting rotation. Eovaldi or Rodriguez? And the ultimate decision there may depend on who ends up playing Boston in the division series. So obviously it's going to be either the Yankees or the Oakland A's. Right now the Yankees have the advantage over the A's in the wild card standings for the play-in game, which means that the game will be played in New York at the moment. Okay, the Yankees have a two-game lead in the loss column. But it's only 1.5 overall because the Yankees have to play every night this week. The A's are only going to play 6 games. So the gap between those teams is 1.5 games. So if the Yankees get in, and honestly, I never thought it would come to this, but clearly that last series in New York meant something. If the Yankees get in, it feels like Nathan Eovaldi is going to be your starting pitcher. If it's Oakland that gets in, it feels like it might be Eduardo Rodriguez. Murray, do you have a strong opinion on that either way? Eduardo Rodriguez or Eovaldi, or do you think it's 6.5 dozen the other?
Well, if it's New York, I would, and I'm just basing it off this last series, I would trust Eovaldi more than I would Rodriguez in New York, even though Rodriguez in his past has had success there. It's what have you done for me lately, and I would trust Eovaldi more in the rotation in New York than I would Rodriguez. So, you know, these games, while somewhat meaningless until they get into the postseason, this is where they can assert this rotation and figure out what the hell they're going to do in the postseason.
Jimmy Stewart, do you have an opinion on it?
I'd rather see Eovaldi come out of the bullpen in the 7th and 8th inning. He showed me something when he struck out Stanton in an important situation at the end of the Yankee game the other night. I want Eovaldi 7th or 8th inning, or both.
Well, so this is where I am. I think that if everyone is throwing the ball well, I think the Red Sox are a better team if Eduardo Rodriguez starts and Nathan Eovaldi's coming out of the bullpen. I think that that's what makes the Red Sox the best team. Now, Eduardo Rodriguez has been inconsistent since he came back from his injury, so it feels like there's one good one, one bad one. There's been some instability there, but I don't think Eovaldi is any sort of slam dunk. So what I do there, I then make the decision based on my bullpen. And I think Eovaldi's a better candidate to help you out of the bullpen than Eduardo Rodriguez is. But it sounds like the Red Sox might go Eovaldi-Rodriguez if if they play New York. And again, that'd be game four of the series. So this is one of those big decisions that Alex Cora has to make now with regard to his pitching staff, because the fact of the matter is that he can't rely on any of them. So if Cora's right, he's going to look like a genius. If he's wrong, he's going to look like a jackass. Okay, that's number one. So again, the end of the rotation right now, and it impacts what you're going to be able to do in the bullpen. Here's the other one that is playing out at the moment, and it didn't feel like it was going to be this as of a week ago at this time. I mean, if you were to go back to last Monday and I told you that third base looks like it's undecided for the Red Sox, you would have told me, well, that's not true. Eduardo Nunez is the guy. They're leaning towards Eduardo Nunez. Nunez is banged up again a little bit. Rafael Devers got in the lineup, had a productive weekend, so now we're back to Devers or Nunez at third base. So let me ask you again, Murray and Jimmy Stewart, Devers or Nunez, which one?
I'm going to go with Devers just because of the bat more than anything else. I mean, the defense has been down on Nunez this year overall. So I'm going with the bat with Devers. I just trust him more to produce, you know, and get a bigger at-bat in a big moment in the postseason than I do with Nunez.
Yeah, and he's hot right now. Yeah. And the Red Sox are talking a lot about plate discipline there and that they're seeing an improvement there. Jimmy Stewart, what about you, Devers or Nunez?
I'll take Devers because I believe he hit well last year in the postseason, or at least had an important at-bat or two. And as you say, he's hot. I'll go Devers.
Okay, so look, again, I think Devers has the higher upside. I think they're going to go Nunez. And I think
he's also a different type of hitter from the left side. He can go and pound that green monster if you need him to.
Okay, so look, I just think that the upside is higher with Devers and people. Now, Nunez, I think, has been more consistent, particularly in the second half of the season. Devers is hot right now. I'd be surprised if the Red Sox went Devers over Nunez. But I kind of lean with you guys. I like the idea of if Devers is playing at his best, he's a better player than Nunez. Now, the defense, scary, but you can pull the late innings if it comes to that. And, you know, again, that's going to be an interesting decision for Cora as the Red Sox get closer. Honestly, I'd kind of like to see both guys on the roster. To me, keep them both. You might need a bigot for Devers at some point. The Red Sox don't have a lot of great, not that they have to pinch hit all that much, but I like the idea of an extra lefty on the bench. I do. And so do I think they're going to go that way? Chances are probably not. But to me, that's one thing I would consider. Now, as for this week, here's why this is an important week for the Red Sox. And Murray, I asked you this too at the end of last week. If you had to pick between Oakland and New York, who would you rather play?
I would rather play New York.
Okay, you'd rather play the Yankees. Jimmy yeah. Stewart?
I'd rather play the Yankees.
Okay, I'd rather play Oakland. So, again, agree to disagree. That part of it's fine. But the Red Sox? The Red Sox may actually have a hand in this. The Yankees are going to come in here at the end of the week. And New York currently, again, is only a game and a half up on the A's. If you want that play-in game played in Oakland, well, then beating the Yankees and taking care of business and giving Oakland the chance to play that game at home makes all the difference in the world. And I would say the same is true on the other side, too. If you'd rather play New York, and maybe New York is becoming a more palatable matchup or even desirable matchup because of all the issues surrounding the Yankees, and Didi Gregorius hurt his wrist sliding headfirst in a play over the weekend. So yet another example of a guy sliding headfirst and causing damage to his hands to the point where he may not even be able to play in the playing game now, Didi Gregorius. But even so, one way or another, the Red Sox can have a hand in that. Okay, so whether it's losing games to the Yankees or beating the Yankees and forcing that playoff game in Oakland, to me, I would rather play Oakland. I still think that is a more desirable matchup for the Red Sox than the Yankees. I just think New York's upside is way higher. So, again, that's where we are to start here. 617-779-0985. I want to read you a couple things, too, when we come back from some of the coverage over the weekend that I found kind of amusing, frankly. But we'll take your calls on the Red Sox, start to examine what's at stake for them this week. All of that when we come back.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzara, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
That's a good team over there. It was good to see him going, you know, battle against Ramirez there, making good pitches and changing speeds and then going up and throwing the breaking ball, all that. So that's a good offensive team, and it was a good test. He's feeling fine, so we'll see how he reacts the next few days, and he'll make his next one Wednesday.
That's Alex Cora at the end of last week. Friday night, Chris Sale opened up against the Cleveland Indians. 73 pitches, I think it was, for Sale. 7 strikeouts. And to me, that should be one of the encouraging signs for you. The velocity, Sale still isn't quite airing it out all the time. It was throwing, you know, 94, 95, at least in the bits that I saw. And again, if you're having a hard time sitting through the entirety of these Red Sox games at the moment, it's hard when they're putting spring trainings on it, lineups out there, and the games don't mean anything. But what you have to really take is the little things out of it, like you would in spring training. It's all about Sale. It's all about throwing strikes. It's the stuff. And the large majority of his strikeouts, if not all of them in that game, came on his slider, which to me is a good sign. That's his pitch. I mean, that's his money pitch. That's the reason Chris Sale makes the money he does.
So this one I actually watched in its entirety, almost inadvertently, Maz, because I was working a bar event for the station that night, and I thought he looked pretty good, other than the bomb he gave up to Donaldson. So there, it's funny. It does feel like he's going to be a factor for the Indians in the postseason. I can understand why there's some sore-ass feelings on behalf of the Red Sox and the Yankees with them getting that guy.
Yeah, look, I mean, Donaldson, to me, is a competitive guy who plays with a fire up his butt. So,
but Sale looked good, I thought.
Yeah, and so this is another thing that you should be paying attention to if you're a Red Sox fan this week. Aside from the fact that Yankees A's and the winner of that game is who you're going to play, and obviously the playoff game's not until next week. But this week, the Red Sox could have a hand in determining where that game will be played. Okay, and then the rest of it is your rotation. How does your rotation look this week? And the positional guys, to me, are a secondary concern or a lesser concern, because you really do look at the positional players on the roster and you say, well, the goal is to just get them healthy. Get them healthy, get them their at-bats, get their timing down so that, well, you know, even if they get their at-bats this week, they're going to have 4 days off next week. So they're not going to play any games till next Friday. That's 4 days of not hitting. That's going to be an interesting little trick for Cora to try to keep those guys, keep their timing right. But in terms of the games this week, the big one is the pitchers. Okay, keep an eye on Sale. He goes Wednesday. Price goes tomorrow. Evaldi is pitching tonight with Eduardo Rodriguez behind him coming out of the bullpen. And so these are all the things that you really want to see the pitchers dialed in. That's the biggest thing. So again, 617-779-0985. We'll kick it off tonight with Alan, who's in California. Go ahead, Alan.
Hey, Maz, what's up?
What do you got?
It seems like they're cruising, but I just wonder if they're more like the middle of the pack. I mean, are they built for the playoffs as well as they could have been? I mean, are they going to win? Are they going to be more like, you know, are these going to be real tight games? You know, what's going to happen?
Alan, what does your gut tell you?
It tells me that they've fallen back towards the middle of the pack, of the playoff pack.
Okay, so when you say they have fallen back towards the pack, are you basing that on recent results?
Kind of. It seems like they peaked a little early.
Okay, so here's what I would tell you. Don't put any stock whatsoever in the recent results. None. Don't put any... Now, I'm talking team results now. Individuals versus teams, totally different things. But when you get right down to it, when's the last time the Red Sox really played a meaningful game? A month ago? I mean, they've had this massive lead for a long time. Even the three-game series in New York, didn't mean anything. There was nothing really at stake there. All they needed to do was get one win. They got it in the finale. So maybe you breathed a little bit of life into the Yankees. And even then, I look at the Yankees now with the Gregorius injury. I'm sorry, I think that's a big one. But I look at it and say that the Red Sox have been in cruise control here for some time. Okay, so I don't put a lot of stock in the team results in the last little bit. But the individual performances, you know, guys having timing and mechanics right on the mound and things of the like, those I do put stock in. So, for example, I'll go back to third base. Rafael Devers, rather, at third base versus Eduardo Nunez. Like, that to me is becoming a more interesting situation. If Devers plays at his best, If you get the Devers of last year, he's a better option than Eduardo Nunez. And this is something that Cora's going to have to decide here on the fly leading into next week. And so, and even then, I'm not sure Cora is going to necessarily base it all on results as much as how a guy looks, how sort of the vibe around him is, those sorts of things. You know, is his timing right at the plate? How does he look defensively? All the things I think Cora has to weigh. So that's, you know, that's the obvious one as far as the positional guys go. But the pitchers, get Sale right, get Price right. The bullpen is going to be what it is. There's no magic solution there. We'll just have to see how that one shakes out come playoff time next Friday. Because if you can honestly sit here and tell me that you have confidence in the bullpen at this stage, I have no idea how you could possibly come to that conclusion. Zero. And I'll tell you what. Some of the things I saw written over the weekend to me were, or in the last day or so even, were interesting. So this is from Sean McAdam of Boston Sports Journal. And he says that, he says Eduardo Nunez and Devers will both be part of the 25-man roster for the postseason. What is not clear, however, writes McAdam, is how the Red Sox will divide up the playing time between them at third base. And it may remain that way until the Red Sox learn the identity of their ALDS opponent, which won't be known until late on October 3rd, after the Yankees and the Oakland A's do battle in the AL wildcard game. And then McAdam goes on to say that until recently, it was widely assumed that Nunez had claimed the position for his own while Devers worked his way back from a second hamstring pull. Even as Devers got cleared to play, the Red Sox seemed in no hurry to bring him back. But of late, Devers is swinging a better bat. Nunez is banged up again. And so, you know, these are, again, all things that are going to be in Alex Cora's plate here in the next week. Sean is in Salem. Sean, go ahead. What do you got?
Hey, what's up, Tony? Yeah, I just want to compare. Like last year going into the Houston series in the playoffs, big concern was Houston killed left-handed pitching. We had a bunch of it. They had a good bullpen and everything. And sure enough, their offense did really well against our left-handers. We have that same situation here with the Yankees and Oakland being at the top of the league versus left-handers. And both of them have a better bullpen. Point being, I think you should start Eovaldi in the playoffs in either series just to sort of mitigate the left-handed advantage they have to get to the second half of the game where ultimately they're going to have the big advantage in the bullpen either way. Just wanted to get your take on that situation, not starting so many lefties versus these two good teams.
Okay, so Sean, I think that is certainly the case with the Yankees. I mean, you're already getting that sense that Eovaldi would be the better matchup there. It feels like the Red Sox are leaning that way. And when you look at it, all the key hitters in the Yankees lineup, for the most part, are right-handed. So Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge, Gary Sanchez. Now, look, I'm not saying everybody, because Gregorius bats left-handed, although he's not necessarily going to be in there. And so Andrew McCutcheon now, like all of it, you know, the Yankees are heavy on the right side. So I'm sure that that is part of the logic. Although, as we saw when the Red Sox were in there last week, if you don't pitch those guys properly, there is the possibility that they will hit those balls into the right field seats. Okay. So David Price, at a minimum, if the Red Sox hit the Yankees, will not start a game in New York. It'll be, in all probability, game two here in Boston. Assuming that Sale goes game one, and I don't believe anything with the pitching until it actually is announced, because I think there's always some monkeying around that managers like to do with their pitchers in the final stages of the regular season.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub. This is the Baseball Reporter's.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotti, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
So the Red Sox will set the club record here for victories any day now. I mean, they'll get that. Nothing matters. Not that it matters, rather. And certainly more important is that they secure home field advantage throughout the playoffs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, but there are a lot of little things to keep an eye on here this week as the Red Sox get prepared for the postseason. And a caller in the last segment brought up an interesting point about the left-handed pitching on the Red Sox staff and the opponents they'll be facing in the playoffs. We'll get to that in just a minute. But first, I want to bring in Ian Brown of MLB.com. Has covered the Red Sox for a long period of time. We'll get his thoughts sort of on where the team is at the moment. And Ian, just generally speaking, how do you feel about the way they're playing right now and where they're situated going into the postseason?
Yeah, I think they're playing okay, man. They'd be a little more worried if, Cora was playing his A lineup and putting his A pitchers in there every day. But you can really see him trying to preserve these guys. You know, he's really trying to make sure that everybody has everything left in the tank they need, come that first game of the playoffs. And that's the advantage to having the record they've had. Now, you don't want to let your guard down. So I think they're still playing to win. The guys who are on the field are playing hard. It's just, he's obviously giving guys a lot of rest these last few days.
So isn't the pitching staff really the big priority now, Ian? Like, when you look at it and you say, okay, Price goes tomorrow, Sale goes on Wednesday, those two guys in particular, and I'd also like your thoughts. I want your thoughts on how those two guys have looked. And then also, Eovaldi versus Rodriguez in terms of the in terms of the final spot in the rotation, do you have any idea yet or at the moment as to which way that one's going to go?
Yeah, first of all, the Eovaldi versus Rodriguez. I really think, Maz, if they face the Yankees, Eovaldi's been so good against them. He hasn't given up a run in the two games he's pitched since he joined the Red Sox. So I think he pitches against the Yankees. I think that if they go against the A's, I think you're going to see Rodriguez in the rotation because it's a pretty small sample size, but four starts against them lifetime, he's kind of owned them. He's like 2.33 ERA. I don't know if you remember, he had a near no-hitter against them a couple of years ago. So he really feels comfortable pitching against that team.
So before you go on, just quickly then, clearly that is 100% a matchup thing either way. It's not going to have anything to do with how these guys throw the ball in the final week.
Yeah, listen to the way Alex Cora's been talking about it. It really is about who they play. He's really kind of thinks that, it depends on, which guy matches up against which guy. And you'll see the same thing, when it comes to forming that bullpen. Who's going to be the last spot? Is it going to be a lefty or is it going to be one of the righties? They want to see who they're playing first. I think they have a pretty good idea of which way they're going in the other direction. They're not going to divulge any of it, but in case somebody gets hurt or something this last week, they get the sense Cora's got a pretty good idea where he's going here. He's not really using these last few games to evaluate. To tell you the truth, I think the most important game this week, Maz, is the game that Sale pitches Wednesday night.
And what?
This is his last, this is his last tune-up before the playoffs. You got to get him stretched out. You got to make sure that he can bring it, man. He's going to have to not just be an okay Chris Sale. He's going to have to be a really good Chris Sale going into the playoffs.
So, Ian, do you think that in the last game he threw 73 pitches, I think it was, and he got a number of strikeouts on his slider. It doesn't feel like he's fully, or at least in the last couple, has fully aired it out. Do you get any sense that this week, again, he'll pitch Wednesday, Ian? He doesn't go game one until a week from Friday. So really, you're talking about what there? 8 days of rest between starts?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So given that reality, do you think that usually you get to this stage and you'd say a starting pitcher getting ready for the playoffs, he goes 4 or 5 innings, throws 75 pitches, no problem. But do you get the sense with Sale that they really want to let him air it out and they want to see him tested in this outing?
Yes, absolutely. And he's going to go, I think he's going to go, 90 pitches on Wednesday. And then after that, there's going to be some other type of, I'm sure they'll simulate a game or maybe he'll even face some of the Red Sox guys during those workouts next week. But he did say something after the game last week, we were kind of asking him about his velocity in Cleveland. And he said, I know it's there. Kind of reading between the lines, he didn't want to fully go 100% max effort velocity, and he's kind of saving that, and I think you're going to see that in this next one. I'd be concerned in this next one if he's kind of throwing 90, 91, 92. You'd like to see him get to 95, 96, 97. So I think that you'll see that from Seattle this next time around.
Okay, and how did he look to you in this past outing?
Yeah, pretty good. The only thing to me that really was missing was, like you said, the velocity. But he's getting swings and misses. The slider looks sharp as always. So I think if he was significantly injured, I don't think he would have that depth to the slider that he's had really the last two times out. I thought that first start he came back, a little worried there. He just looked kind of out of sync. But the last two, I think, have been fine. And, once he ticks up that velocity, you'll feel pretty good about where he's at.
Okay, so again, we're speaking with Ian Brown of MLB.com. He's covered the Red Sox here for a number of years. And I want to jump back to a second, Ian. Eovaldi and Eduardo Rodriguez, and you mentioned that Eovaldi's success against the Yankees. We just had a caller in the last segment point out that against left-handed starters this year, okay, and this is all based on a winning percentage, but I think the Yankees have the best record in baseball. Houston is third best against lefty starters. Oakland is 10th best. Okay, now again, that's one loss record, which in and of itself, those numbers can be deceiving. But in terms of OPS against left-handed pitching in the American League, all three teams that the Red Sox would face rank in the top four. Houston's Houston's number one. The Yankees are number two. And obviously, Oakland is number four. So it feels like no matter who the Red Sox face, that there is going to be a scenario there in which they're going to face a lineup that excels against left-handed pitching. And that, you know, that could be a problem for a staff that has, in fact, Cleveland's fifth. So as I look at it, I say Houston's one, the Yankees are second, Oakland's fourth, the Indians are fifth. Does that at all concern you given the constitution of the rotation of the Red Sox? And wouldn't that be, so Ian, wouldn't that be an argument for pitching Eovaldi either way?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, like I said, definitely against the Yankees. And, you know, they are putting Rodriguez out there in the bullpen tonight, so they're going to see kind of how his stuff plays out there. I'm kind of the mind that if Eovaldi can do the job in the rotation, I'd like, you know, Rodriguez could be a real weapon as a lefty because they don't have many, you know, any lefties at all really in that bullpen of substance. You remember in 2013 how Dubron had been starting all year? He got some huge outs for them in the playoffs that year in the bullpen, especially against the Tigers. So I wonder, you know, if they try to get the same thing out of Rodriguez this year, that this playoff, that he kind of gives them that lefty they need.
Do you get any sense that they are considering that?
I mean, Cora's been kind of saying it's an either-or thing, but he's not really tipping his hand either. So I think, like I said, definitely against the Yankees, he's going to be a lefty in the bullpen. And we'll see where they go next, you know, if they win this round. But, you know, maybe he'll go against Oakland too. But he's been making it sound like, you know, that rotation is contingent on who they face. So I think he's got, you know, Eovaldi going against one of those teams and Rodriguez going against the other.
Okay, Ian, before we let you go, and again, it's Ian Brown of MLB.com, has covered the Red Sox here for a number of years. I want to touch on third base because it feels like Devers has had a little bit of a resurgence here in the last few days. Nunez feels like he's always banged up. Do you lean one way or another on those guys at third base, and which way do you think the team will go?
Yeah, I think they got to go Devers bounce. They really do. I mean, this guy just, like, you look at the upside with Nunez, and really, what is it? You know, kind of an average player who can hit, you know, 265, 270. Really doesn't have much range at all at third base. He is very sure-handed, much more at third, not very good at second, much more sure-handed than Devers. But, you know, Devers is going to get the more balls. So I think the way they do this is you play Devers, you know, first six innings. If you got to leave, you know, you get him out of there and let either Holt or Nunez hit the last two to three, just because you can't afford, you know, for Devers to, you know, throw one into the popcorn stand in the eighth inning of a playoff game. But I think with that bat, you know, he hit a couple home runs over the weekend there in Cleveland. I think you let him go and see what you can get, because that gives you a real spread if you can get him going at all.
Yeah, to me, Ian, that's the way to go. The upside there is greater. As you said, you can always make a substitution late. I don't know. Maybe it says something that we're considering Eduardo Nunez as a defensive replacement, which tells you how bad their defense is at third base overall. Anyway, but listen, as always, we appreciate the time.
All right, good talking to you, Matt. Talk
okay, to you too. Again, Ian Brown of MLB.com, who joins us to sort of give us you know, just an insider's look there at sort of what the vibe is around the team and some of the key spots.
Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.5.